Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got Damian Woody coming up here in just a moment. Bart, how's that cookie? Because
I'm about to go in a coma.
I'm halfway through it, and I'm...
Good thing I got...
How much butter do you think is in that one cookie? Like a half a stick?
Three-fourths of a stick.
It definitely feels like...
It's definitely
three quarters of a stick.
Definitely like 2.5 tablespoons.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Like
shout out to them again, man.
Funny Face Bakery.
Funny Face.
Yeah. And by the way, we didn't get it for free. Like we're not doing this because they did us a favor. We legit Bart. By the way, dropped a very large tip.
Huge.
Wait.
It was huge.
Crazy.
But it was really like even she
support
was like
small, support small businesses.
No, that's the best. Exactly what you were saying, and she was very nice, and we both just kind of wandered in. Damian Woody joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. D Wood, have you ever been to Funny Face Bakery over here?
I have not.
Man,
listen, you're gonna get listen. It's gonna be good, but you're gonna get type 2 diabetes.
I mean, it's definitely one that you need a nap. Afterwards,
yeah, I don't think I need that right about now.
Come on, man, it only cost you a foot.
Oh, come on.
Yo, this is the funniest thing, man. Every time they put your picture up, they never even
change it.
They got your picture with the eyebrow from like the little eyebrow thing that I did. We were playing around with early in the year. So every time they put your picture up, the people that's
watching
that's
his stock photo?
Plush, they think that's your stock photo. Like you don't have one eyebrow, like the other one's painted on, man. Just so you know.
Yeah, man. I've been on them about that, man. I'm like, dang, man. Like I got other photos, man. Can we hook a brother up?
All right, so you've actually told them to change it, and they still refuse to change it.
So they trolling you.
Yeah, now it's that it's
they
personal.
They trolling D-Weezy.
There's no doubt about it. Well, speaking of it's personal.
Oh, yeah, they definitely trolling.
Yeah. Speaking of which, though, if you're following Adam Schefter's Twitter today, and I'm sure you are, it's getting now, obviously it's all coming out now between the Buccaneers and Antonio Brown to the point where, A, they just released him, but, B, Jason Light talking all about the simple details of, okay, he never told us he had an injury. He asked for all of his money to be guaranteed 2 weeks ago, and we wouldn't do it. He was complaining about not getting enough targets at halftime. And we set up MRIs for him in New York on Monday, and he didn't go to either appointment. So they're saying we've done all the right things, and he's doing what his reputation that precedes him, what you would all expect him to do here, which is blame everybody and try to find ways to make us look bad when we didn't do anything wrong and he acted out. How do you see it? Because Barr is saying, well, you were saying, though, that you feel like there's a side of this that you got to listen to on Antonio Brown's side.
No, I just said it was stupid if that was the case because he was close to his incentives anyway.
Yeah.
And he got five targets, but if he's generally hurt, I would think that he would want his money. And if they wouldn't guarantee him his money, just to me, common sense, let me go out here and catch 8 balls in 2 games, which is easy peasy. And let me get that's one $300,000 bonus. 50 yards, he probably would have got that. Hell, the dude that caught the touchdown pass was his backup. That was 50 yards right there. That he would have made what $666,099 right there. I think I put too many.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it was 333.
But the bottom line is, though, D Wood, is that this thing now is becoming very public.
Yeah.
And I just keep going with who do you believe? Which side do you believe? With past history, it's hard to believe anything Antonio Brown's putting out there.
Yeah, man, it is hard to believe, but you know, you never know what the receipts that guys come with, man. And I just look at it like this, is that I've always been in control of my medical situation. I've never been put in a situation where a team, you know, forced me to play when I wasn't ready to play. And Bart knows this, like, when you step between those white lines, you are basically telling people, yeah, I'm good to go. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go out there and play with my brothers out there. So, and this whole notion of, you know, like he got injected, you know, the team and gave him this injection. Like, you knew what you were doing when you get this injection. Like, to try to make it seem like the team made you get this and all that type of stuff. Like, you knew this, man.
You said it's not varsity blues, D. Wood? Take him to the back and make him understand?
Yeah. he grown, but he grown, though, boy.
That's true.
He grown.
That's
like, you don't even have to take him to the back to understand what the deal is, man. But I'm in a situation, man, where it's just like, there's still so much information that still needs to come out. I don't want to just jump to conclusion and say it's one way or the other, because it just seems like every hour on the hour, there's more information that's still coming out about this whole situation.
That part is true. And even more has come out on this other topic, and that's Aaron Rodgers and an MVP voter saying, I'm not going to give him a vote for MVP because I think he's a jerk. And Aaron Rodgers then fires back saying, well, that guy's a bum and he doesn't know me. And he's just saying what he's saying, and, you know, they'll hold back and forth. And then the voter then issues sort of an apology, making it out to be where now all the social media minions come after him, make him look bad when all he's given is his opinion. You played in the league a long time. You understand how this whole process works. How do you feel about this?
Well, listen, I, as a former athlete, man, I take this stuff, you know, personally, because, you know, one thing about us when we play this game, man, our legacy means so much to us. The way we are perceived, how we went about our business of going out there and performing on the football field, whether it's the football field, basketball court, tennis court, doesn't matter. Legacy is a huge part of the deal. And when you inject your personal feelings into the equation that could affect my legacy, I have a huge problem with that. And I think this individual should not be a part of the process. I think it should be revoked. And, you know, Bart brought it up on Get Up this morning, how, you know, just from a bigger picture, you know, we see stuff like this, you know, a lot in other voting, Hall of Fame voting. You know, we see this type of stuff. You know, T.O. was a prime example of that. So I just think it's just, man, it's a real slippery slope when you're deciding the fate of athletes who put blood, sweat, and tears into their career, and to finally get that recognition, you know, with their legacy on the line. I just think that, man, it's a totally bad look.
It's like the song say, no one man should have all that power. Mm-hmm. You give these reporters and media members power, but really how qualified are they to really understand how good somebody is or isn't? And understanding that this guy comes from Chicago, a place that normally hates, you know, Aaron Rodgers anyway, and going off, you know, somebody, sometimes we have to do our business in the public, D. Wood, and it ain't always pretty. Whether it's players that have holdouts, players that want to, you know, hold, you know, get more money, renegotiate, or want, feel like they're owed something, and public perception maybe, you know, goes a different way. And it's so crazy how people think they know who we are based on 5 to 10 minute sound bites when they have no idea what we are as people. And it sounds like this guy was making a judgment at Aaron Rodgers as who he was as a person, and saying that, and we know it's not about that, but he still can't, he's not qualified enough to say who he is as a person and as a teammate because he's not privy to that information.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Bart. And, you know, that's the unfortunate thing, man. It's just, you know, in this type of situation, Aaron Rodgers, you know, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinion, has earned the MVP this year. And, you know, unfortunately, we got people out here, particularly this gentleman from Chicago, that want to make it more about himself than what the focus should be on. That's Aaron Rodgers and what he's done on the football field.
All right, so you would then take Rodgers over Brady for MVP this year. That's basically what you said, right? He's your MVP this year.
Yeah, I would. You know, I'll give him a slight edge over Brady. I think Aaron Rodgers is what he was able to accomplish with the Green Bay Packers. We know Brady's stats are, you know, he has 1,000 more passing yards, and you know, he has 40 touchdowns. But you know, Aaron Rodgers missed. I think he missed a game, and plus the offenses are different. Tom Brady has thrown the ball a lot more than Aaron Rodgers. So if you just look at the totality of it all, I think Aaron Rodgers gets the slight edge, you know, from me as far as MVP is concerned.
Now, as we know, of course, you know, things only work, you know, as good as your options are. That's your situation, okay? And when it comes to the Giants, they have a coach in Joe Judge. He's lately just going on these rants that I really don't understand why. If he's got job security, why? But he's trying to explain away everything that's gone on this year and prove himself as a coach despite the losing record. I feel like the Giants' options, if they change this offseason based on what coaches could become available, then maybe you change your mind about whether or not this is the guy you go forward with. Do you feel like regardless of if a Sean Payton or anybody else becomes available to be a coach, regardless of that, they should make a change? Or is it if they can do better, and maybe they should just have some stability at that position? Which would be better for this franchise?
I don't think you should have stability for the sake of stability. And I think that's what kind of what, you know, John Mara is – I think that's the mistake he's fallen in is, well, we've changed coaches, you know, past couple of coaches – you know, after a couple of years or whatever the case may be, I want to keep Joe Judge because I don't want to keep making change. Yeah, I get it, but you got to understand, like, the Giants has just been a disaster. This is a team that spent this offseason investing in Daniel Jones, and the Giants were expected to contend for the NFC East crown. The Giants are a laughingstock. Not only this year, but for quite a bit of time now in the National Football League. And I just think that they need to clean house. They need to reevaluate what it means to be a, you know, New York football giant, to how to run the organization. They need to just do a thoroughly take a good look at everything from top to bottom in that organization. Because right now, they're just trending in the wrong direction.
What did you think of the young Jets? It was a corner safety?
Yeah, Echols.
Echols. What did you think of that? Him going to Brady. We're going to talk about this later in the show, but I'd love to get your take on it. Him going to Brady and asking him to sign the ball that he intercepted. Brady did it. Now, later on, Brady said, I'm never doing that again. But, you know, just had fun with it. But what did you think of that, of a player doing that? Did you feel like that was like the wrong thing to do? Or do you have no problem with it?
No, I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, you got to understand, a lot of these guys that are coming into the league, they grew up watching Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like
hey, 22 years older.
You know,
than
when they were young, when they were young, they were probably like, man, if I get the opportunity to get in the league, man, I would love to, you know, get an interception off Tom Brady. So here it is, you know, a rookie who's what, 23 years old, and he's intercepted, you know, the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Like, that's a big deal. Like, listen, at the end of the day, we're not enemies. This is still a brotherhood. Yeah, we go out there and compete for 3 hours, but after that's over with, we're still a brotherhood. We're still a fraternity. So the fact that, you know, he was ballsy enough to go up to Brady and say, hey, man, you mind autographing this ball that I intercepted from you? I thought that was ballsy on this part, yeah. But I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, probably caught him off guard, right?
Right.
Brave was like, that's why he was like, man, I throw interceptions. This ain't no jersey swap, especially like why people should be surprised with that. We're in the era of everybody swapping jerseys.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure Brady, if he would have swapped a jersey, like, man, I want your jersey. Like, who the hell are you? But, you know, this kid never in a million years thought that Brady would still be playing by the time he got a chance to be in the NFL to even get that. So he probably was shocked. Let me tell you something. If I would have tackled Barry Sanders, my hero, I would have cried. I would have been in there like, stop throwing it, Tom. I can't hit Barry Sanders, man. I can't tackle Barry Sanders. Oh, I love him too much, man. He's God. Like, Brady is God to some of these people. Barry Sanders was God to me. Like,
this is like if I dunked on Patrick Ewing. If I happen to get to the league and Patrick's, you know, and I'm playing against the Knicks,
old man,
and I come up on Patrick, I bang one on him, and then after the game, I'm like, hey, Patrick, could you sign this ball?
Yeah, yeah. No,
you just embarrassed me?
Can you sign my shorts? Because I put them all in your face.
Like going up to Henrik Lundqvist and say, hey, can you sign this puck? I just scored on you. Like, no.
But I
thought Brady handled it well.
Brady's always done the right thing, man. That's what we appreciate about him. And it's not about you know, Brady, my respect for Brady isn't about what he's done in some of his finer moments. Mm-hmm. It's what he's done in some of the moments where he had the excuse not to take the high road. Like when he lost the Super Bowls, him and Peyton Manning answer those questions.
Yeah.
And they answer them like thoughtfully. They don't rush people off. They give them the respect.
Right.
And like, you know, when he throws interceptions or has a bad game, he owns it. That's why he's the GOAT, right?
And I tell you what, D-Wood, I know you played with him. I know you won a ring with him. But I'll tell you what, I never liked Brady more than after watching Man in the Arena. And this is not, I'm not promoting it. It's not a read right now, nothing. I'm being honest. Like, and I said this on the group chat with our producers. I said, it's the greatest propaganda I've ever seen. Even greater than the Jordan doc. Even greater than that one. Because Brady is so different when you watch it that you start to appreciate him. Like, and again, D-Wood, you knew it behind the scenes. You saw all this stuff behind the scenes. Like, you know what he's about. Like, he's just, like, that's a guy that you really do end up admiring for who he is.
D-Wood, why did you ever leave him? What the hell is wrong with you?
Money, baby.
When that bread come calling, when people throw that bread at you like that, it makes you do funny things.
he was like, you left me. This is what you left me for. It's like the men of Troy. This is what you left me for, Detroit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what he was thinking too.
Like D Wood could have gave you some. Right. Could have gave you some TB12 stock. I mean, what are we talking about, bro?
Yeah. Hey, always good to talk to you.
It wasn't no TB12 stock back then.
Not yet. No, not yet. D-Wood, always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks so much for the time.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, Damian Woody on the Goodyear Hotline.
Now put his eyebrow back on his picture.
Yeah,
man.
Can we fix that? ESPN Plus. Come
give
on.
Give him his eyebrow.
We
got to
get him a better give picture. Back, come man. On now. There it is. It looks like a cartoon, doesn't it?
And then he got that old, you can tell this is an early thing because he got nothing but his straight mustache.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
That is like a prom picture. Like
that's what I mean. That looks like a parody.
He needs some clouds behind her or some stars.
Does look like a prom. That does look like a prom picture.
Or the stars, you know, you take your class picture. It's like, all right, you want stars or clouds? All right, yeah, whatever. Go ahead, kid. Get the hell out of here.
It's Barton Hahn coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take Harper. He wants to talk about Antonio Brown. Go ahead, Harper.
How you doing, guys? So I just want to say real quick, I think I got a take on this. So I was at the game Sunday, right? You know, when you go into MetLife, they have the field view where you walk down the ramp and you can see the players. When Antonio Brown was warming up, he did look like he was favoring some type of injury. I thought there were two people that looked like they were hurt, which was Antonio Brown and Mike Evans. But secondly, what also happened was the play that he made, I think, against Michael Carter II, he runs the comeback, I think. He catches it. He goes to the sideline. He was visibly upset, jumping up and down. And I think what happened was he was upset about not getting the ball. I don't think he was getting the ball enough. And then right after that is when this whole thing happened. But, you know, as far as I think, you know, he's throwing a little salt in the game. Tampa Bay is as well. Because the $2 million, when I was at the game, Antonio Brown was the first one on the field with the special team guys before anybody else was out there. He was warming up with about an hour and 20 left before the game started. So, I just believe it was about targets. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, and that's what one of the reports is.
But the crazy thing is he had five targets in the first two quarters.
Right.
He caught three. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was on pace for 10 targets.
Look, that's what Jason Light told Adam Schefter, or at least that's what Jason Light is saying to reporters. Adam Schefter is reporting that's part of it. That, and he also asked for the remaining $2 million of his contract to be guaranteed.
That's ballsy.
Well, again,
that's ballsy. You coming off of suspension from the NFL?
You come back from an embarrassing
suspension. I didn't fine you for lying to us.
Is that him kind of saying, "I know I'm going to act up again, so let me make sure I get my money"? Is that what that is?
I'm not sure. Because if he won the Super Bowl, he goes down in immortality.
Let's take Greg. How you doing, Greg? On the Dr. Pepper calling line. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? Hey, first of all, Harvard just said he was there an hour, 2 hours before anybody else on the field. Just because you're there an hour, 2 hours before doesn't mean you get to leave early as well. So you still got to be there for the rest of the game.
Yes, that would help.
Secondly, I mean, seriously, AB, somebody needs to check into his financial records because a lot of people start losing their minds because something's happening financially. I really do believe that.
And he was and then he asked for the money guaranteed. He's going after Guerrero, making sure he gets half that money back. Like, it seems to be about money.
Exactly. And it's like, who do you owe? Who has gotten you in their pocket?
Oh.
Because when you start owing people, especially favors, okay, now I got to ask for money and guaranteed, because I can't play so well because somebody's asked me to do a favor. That's my theory.
Wow. That is
one with it as you will.
All right, Greg.
But it's scary.
Yeah, no.
Well, we knew we would have these
Greg's
type of allegations.
Greg's writing a movie script right now.
Yeah, we know we would always have these type of allegations whenever you have sports betting involved. We always thought that, we would have these allegations. And I think the NFL has done a great job in not, thinking that referees are throwing games or players are throwing games or anything of that sort. But the easiest way for him to get his money was just go out there and hey, Brady, give me some more targets. It was easy to get targets beating the dudes that he was going against. That should be the easiest money that he can get.
Mm, and he still had another week to play as well to get the whole season in. Yeah. No.
50 yards.
It's a story that's just getting more and more interesting as, again, the reports are coming out. So we'll certainly keep an eye on that. We will also keep an eye out for your calls. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And coming up, an all-time great gets put into the rafters. Mm. We'll discuss that, and you'll hear all of that. But first, Bart's going to tell us about Grainger.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to products, specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call clickgrainger.com or stop on by. Back after this.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV. And if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Progressive Insurance has commercial insurance through Progressive, and it protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. And it's been like several headlines today, but one in particular just dominating, and that's the Antonio Brown saga with the Bucs. If you're just joining us, the Bucs officially have released him, and GM Jason Light has done some talking today. Bruce Arians is now talking with the media today, and they are firing back at Antonio Brown. We're efforting getting Bruce Arians here for you in a minute, because what he had to say certainly disputes what Brown is accusing the Bucs of, which is trying to make him play in the game with an ankle injury he claims to have. Meanwhile, as we effort that and other things, we stop doing the talking. We let the headline makers do the talking in a segment, Bart, we like to call
Audio Files.
You're gluttony right now. You're so full of gluttony.
It's so true.
You can't even put a full swing into it.
Is that really what it is? Because that was probably my worst gong. Like, it's my worst gong of the year, but it is a new year. But that might be my worst gong since we got the gong. Like, ever, I owe ever, Greg ever. Olson an apology.
Ever?
Like, I mean, should I try it again?
Yeah, but you need to open your seat up. You got to account for
your belly swing radius.
Yeah,
you see that?
It's off.
See?
So turn your seat.
The gong hammer is outside the gong radius,
yep.
and I couldn't make good contact.
So it's all about wrist action.
They don't want me to be great.
It's all about wrist action.
Is it, though?
Phrasing?
So let's see. Let's see. You got to hit it in the heart right here.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, you know what? Yeah,
you
I'm
got
have to reset.
You got that sugar.
I'm gonna have to reset.
Omaha.
While we do that, let's get to some audio. And first and foremost, in the NBA last night, one of the all-time greats.
Yes.
A very significant player in the history of the game, based on the fact that he came into the league as a 19-year-old European player, German player. That's Dirk Nowitzki. His number 41 was retired by the Mavericks last night. He thanked everyone, including all the teammates. Remember, he has that one championship as well for the time.
So my other teammates, I had almost 200 of them. That's a lot. Obviously, way too many to mention. But I always try to respect everybody, have fun with everybody, not see myself as a bigger part of the puzzle. Always try to make everybody feel welcome. And that was my style of leadership, always joking around with everybody. And I think it kind of sums up a couple years ago when I won the Twyman Stokes Award for Teammate of the Year. And you know how many teammates voted for me at the time? None. So that meant a lot. That meant a lot to me.
200 is a lot.
I didn't realize he got in the league in 1998.
Yeah, I told you. He came in the league in the late 90s. And think about some of the bigs that he had to deal with. And the game was a lot different then. Very physical game. And he became an all-time great. And when you look at him now, looks like he's in great shape, right?
Looks better now.
Seven-footer. Great shape. We know what's going on in the league right now.
Range.
You know what's going on. Right, and he can shoot the three, which is today's game, not as physical as used to be. So right now, with teams dealing with COVID, including the Mavericks, and they're signing, you know, these 10-day hardship contracts, Dirk, you're in town. Jason Kidd thought, I'm going to shoot my shot.
Quick question. We're giving out 10 days. You want to come back?
He said no.
Hey, you see what was it? Easy Joe? Joe Johnson came back, ISO baby. Joe. Put in work.
Yes,
ISO Joe came back, put in work.
Yeah. So, you know, anything can happen. All right. Do we have Bruce Arians yet, guys? Or not yet? Okay, we're still working on that. So in the meantime, Bart. So the story goes that Jim Harbaugh could be moving on. Why are you making a face as you're looking at a text?
None
good?
No.
I thought it might be something you might have heard.
Yes. No. It's,
nothing
it's,
related to anything that we want to report?
Not right. We can do it later. Next segment. We can talk about it because this is ridiculous.
Is it ridiculous?
That's dumb.
Dumb? All right. Well, this might not be. Jim Harbaugh could be on his way out of Michigan, but maybe now by this time it's his choice because there are some reports that maybe the Raiders could bring him in.
Come on, man.
I've heard people mention the New York Football Giants consider it as well.
Come on, man.
Paul Feinbaum, who we know has been so supportive of Harbaugh in his time in Michigan.
He got a pair of khaki pants for Jim Harbaugh.
He says, you know, maybe he should go.
I think he should leave if he gets one of these offers. He has done the unthinkable. He has proven the critics wrong, especially me. And I don't think he can do any better at Michigan. I think ultimately he got the most out of that team that anyone could possibly get out of them. Can Michigan get to a higher level where they can hang with a Georgia or Alabama? I'm really not sure they can. Ohio State is a better program overall, and they couldn't do it last year against Alabama, losing by 28. And I think if the Bears or the Raiders or somebody else comes calling, he should go. You've heard me say this over and over again, guys. I think he's a better pro coach. It's just a different animal, and I think he has to be thinking about what happened to him a year ago. Just put yourself in his position. They call you in. They cut your salary in half. They say, we don't think you're doing a good job, but come back if you want. We'll be more than happy to keep your office warm. And he comes back and he does the unthinkable. He wins the Big Ten. He beats Ohio State. And now he has an opportunity to leave. So I think he should.
He makes a compelling argument.
Yeah.
And Bart, I said it yesterday. I've heard other people say this as well after I said it. If I'm the Giants, I'm making that move.
Bro.
Why?
Was
he successful as an NFL head coach?
I love the Harbaugh family. Right,
I played
for John,
yep.
And I competed against his father at Western Kentucky, who came in often. Jim is a lot to handle. Please believe me. Like, we know that he had a winning record in San Francisco, and they couldn't get along. Now you want to bring him in to a place he's going to want control. And
why not give it to him? You need a new GM anyway.
Bro.
Don't make him the GM, but you let him bring in his own guy to run the Did he not have success?
Bro.
Does he not know what he's doing with an offense?
Bro. Listen, I'm telling you, the offense has changed in the league, too. The offense ain't the same in the league anymore.
What
man.
He did
it's
with Kaepernick?
Like college. It's more, yes, that's
that,
one of
that's
one.
Different?
That's one. That's one. He had one of the best rosters, too, at the same time. He had Navarro Bowman. He had Patrick Willis.
Mm-hmm.
He had
nasty.
He had Alden Smith. He had Justin Smith. Like, come on, man. He had a great team. He had the best offensive line in the game. That's different. Like, he's been known, and listen, I love the family. He's been known to wear out a facility.
All right. So you don't think that's the way to go?
It has to be a team that's ready to win now. I think if any team, it's the Raiders. I don't think Jacksonville should touch him. I don't think the Giants should touch him. He's a guy like when John Gruden went to Tampa that can get a team that's right there over the top.
So the Raiders have more pieces.
Right. If he has to build it all over from scratch, by the time it's built, he could have your building exhausted. This dude is tirelessly. He burns his coaches out.
Give me an example then of what it is, because you're making it sound like he's just a handful to deal with. Like it's like he's a diva. Like, what does he just have high demands? He demands a lot out of people. Is he just a guy that's constantly complaining about everything?
He works his coaches to death, especially at Michigan. And also, like, you know, the stories about him not being able to get along within San Francisco, and it's a lot. Just understand, it's a lot.
Trying to get you to give me a better understanding.
It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a lot of demands, and you're going to need a lot of stuff.
So he's just a pain in the ass. That's what it is. I'll say it for you. Yeah, okay.
Friend of the family, man.
Take a bite of that cookie. You don't want to say bad things. I'll say it, and you didn't disagree with me, so we'll leave it there. All right. Well done. Steve did a great job. We have now, hot off the presses, Bruce Arians responding to Antonio Brown saying that Arians told him to get in the game, knew he was hurt, tried to make him play hurt, all those things that Brown is saying. Here's Bruce Arians just from a few minutes ago responding.
So obviously that was the disturbing thing when we were looking for him to go back into the game. All right, we always had, he was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted. Got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started again on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, you're done. Get the F out of here. And that's the end of it.
Well, the one thing Antonio Brown was right about is he did tell him to get out of here.
But he, Antonio
I don't
Brown
think he quite say, meant literally get out of here.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's going to tell him, well, maybe he missed the part. He's going to say, well, it's a tomato, tomato, right? It's always a partial truth in everything. Like, oh, well, he
said, I'm not getting the ball.
I said, but he's going to say, because my ankle hurt.
I'm not getting the ball, and he said he brought it up at halftime.
You know what the good thing is?
Hey.
The NFL can do an investigation. It is so many mics over there. It's so much easy to pick that
on
up.
On the sideline? Yeah. 100% there's mics around
there. There's
so many
booms over there. Like, it's so
somebody
easy
will pick up that
up.
Conversation.
Yeah.
And by the way, you also have guys in the locker room who will also say, let you know if that's what was going on. Was he flipping out about that? Great job, guys, getting that. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we'll discuss this a little more. We'll get your thoughts on that. As well on the calls, and also get back to something that we didn't get to earlier in the day, which is, again, Joe Judge, all his talking. Will his team back it up, and will the team he sort of called out have anything to say about it as well? All that coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bart and Han.
I'm back. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. And as more and more of this Antonio Brown news comes to light, as now it's the Bucks' turn to respond to some of the allegations that Antonio Brown has put out there, and of course his legal team as well, he's clearly, Bart, become one of the great malcontents now, right, in the league. I mean, he's places that he's been, including with the Raiders, and the issues that he had there with he and John Gruden, to a point where he just forced his way out of there. He lasted only a couple of weeks in New England before they decided it was time to move on. And then this latest stuff now with Tampa. We're kind of thinking, these are characters in the game, in the sports, that, you know, we all get angry and we all have these angry takes and all that stuff, and how dare you? But then we also kind of laugh about it, and it becomes something that everybody wants to talk about. So think of some other guys, like, not to say that everybody's at the same level, because there's different levels of guys who are troublemakers, malcontents, you know, people that we love to hate, so to speak.
Sports heels.
Yeah, heels. Like the wrestling term.
Sports heels.
All right.
Well, I go one, you throw one at me.
I'll start. I'm going to go with Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
I mean, you love to hate him.
Punchable face.
Because it's all of it. His attitude, his swagger, all those things. Stuff you've seen him do even off, you know, out of the ring. But yet you can't deny the guy is a draw. You will pay attention when you I ain't watching him fight. Sure enough, you're watching him fight, right? It's just the way it is. Yeah. You're drawn to him, but he's definitely become a heel.
Yes.
All right, that's one. What else you got?
For me, the most likable heel is the Worm, right? Because I've seen
Dennis Rodman.
I've seen him metamorphosis from like the little to the beautiful butterfly with all the colors in the hair.
Skinny
stuff like
Dennis
that.
With the Pistons.
With Detroit, yeah. The one dated Madonna that was nice.
Yeah.
And the one that became the bad boy, Carmen Electra, on the Last Dance, going out and chilling in Vegas because he needs a mental break. To the one that wore his welcome out quickly with the Spurs. To the one that found a home with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen to win, you know, three more titles to add to his resume. Yeah, definitely the Worm. One of the favorite heels, because we all want to be him. We all wish we could live that lifestyle.
Jose Canseco. I mean, you talk about a guy that he doesn't give a.
He snitched on everybody.
Everybody. Let everybody. Like he is where it all started when it comes to that, the steroids era, and how
Barry Bonds would be
he just started calling everybody out.
He wasn't lying.
And didn't care that he was losing friends. But then it just got a little silly because, of course, he turned that celebrity into stuff. Well, I can make some money off this.
Yeah,
and so you started to not like him.
Did he have a little tape?
He might have had a tape. But it's like even now, like the things he does, like he's not somebody where you're like, hey, it's Jose Canseco. Now it's like, hey, it's Jose Canseco. Gotcha. You know, like it's that. So there's another name for you.
Well, the most likable are Mike Tyson. Come on, man.
See, I don't
His style is impregnable.
But he had such a small part of his career
now. They like him now. Like, because now we love him in Hangover. Now he's so personable. People bow down to him.
From Robin Givens to biting the ear, that's where he was the guy everybody loved to hate.
Yeah, in between.
That little part. But before and after,
the fight with Lennox Lewis. I want to eat your children. Like, man,
that's what I mean. That's what I meant.
Yeah, and then your family. Like, oh, man, Lennox Lewis knocked the niceness into Mike Tyson.
Is that what it is? Maybe that's all it
takes.
He went
from saying, I want to eat your kids to wipe backhand wiping blood. I love your mother. Like, what? Is this the same dude?
Maybe that's all it takes.
Yeah, get your ass kicked.
Maybe they just need a good ass kicking. I could use a good ass. Like, maybe that's really what it is. And then they'll become nice again. Who knows? If you have any others that could be on that list, let us know at Bart and Han. We are back in 10 seconds.
This is with all this clap back and coming back, we got to go with Ja Rule. Going to clap back.
Well, I understand.
Clap back.
This is Public Enemy. Brother's going to work it out, which we were hoping like things could work out, but they're not.
Meh.
You got an alert.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I guess
Can't wait.
You got an alert to a story that was written in Cleveland. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, who covers the Browns, and you got an alert about this story, and you just shook your head with disgust. This is the SMH face that you were making. And I'm like, what happened? And you're like, it's not important. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So then we go to break and we discuss it. And there's more to it. So I'll let you go with what the alert says and what the report from Cleveland.com says. Go.
Yeah, the report is saying that Baker Mayfield, yes, the Baker Mayfield, brought to you by Progressive, may consider requesting a trade if the play calling don't stop. So now you want to blame it on
he's
the
trying to
play
flip it.
Calling.
See how he's trying to flip it? I'm not. You're not firing me. I quit.
I'm sure that Peyton and Eli was looking at the play call like, man, why are you letting this bum throw the ball?
I wish I remember
handing the ball off.
Tomorrow, I'm gonna have us. We're gonna get the clip from the Manning cast when you like
the utter disgust.
Just to hear it, hear Eli. Like, first, it's Peyton just saying, "Well, you got who was the tight end? Was it Hooper? Was right next? Well, you know they're not running the ball. Like you just told everybody you're not running the ball, and then you hear Eli go, oh, another pass. Like they both sound so disappointed.
Audacity. You know what type of audacity you have to even open your mouth? You threw for 3,000 yards. It ain't the damn play call. You threw four interceptions. How many interceptions did he throw?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
He threw like four interceptions.
Did anybody come get his autograph?
Nine times.
Anyways.
So they gave him an invoice. Like, you owe this money back for me having to watch this.
So the story was posted yesterday at 7:09 p.m. Today, just about 10 minutes ago, Baker Mayfield retweeted the story. And then he wrote, clickbait. You and many other Cleveland local media continue to be drama-stirring reporters with no sources or facts.
Okay.
Don't put words in my mouth so you can put food on your table. I'm not your puppet. Now, I could vouch for Mary Kay Cabot. She is not somebody that is a drama-stirring reporter who has no sources. I can pretty much tell you that that is a fact. Mm. So it's interesting that Baker would
clap back at her.
Clap back that way, that aggressively too, because I know that they have talked many times. Interesting that he would do this, and maybe he feels like he has to so fans don't get mad at him. I don't know. But
so the fans got to be.
This is beginning of the end stuff, right? Yeah. In this, all this stuff. All right, well, here's how it starts to end.
Although
right there.
We go to the end, we there. I think we there. Yeah. Like I think I don't think his teammates believe in him. I mean, listen, it's not like they came up just a little short. I mean, and for the most part, this team had enough. They weren't
major
injured.
Disappointment. They weren't with injured. All that talent.
You know, you got Baker. You got Odell Beckham saying, "Listen, man, we thinking Odell Beckham can't play no more."
And then he goes to the Rams, and now he's back to being the same guy we saw in New York. By the way, that was Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger. As Baker, is he done with supplies and solutions for every industry? Granger's always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What is it with your league? Usually, it's the NBA where it's all drama. All drama all the time.
So many
of us.
We had
Kyrie come back. Everybody's hugging and kissing. Everybody's so happy. Welcome back, Kyrie. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. But something happened Sunday that has some sports fans looking fondly at a time when opponents weren't so friendly. We'll discuss that next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.